Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth. All right, let's finish off our message series on Elijah, shall we? Now, I have to warn you, I am going to be sharing a story that I have to keep on reminding myself why I'm sharing this story, because it is literally my favorite story to share ever. Have you ever had those moments that while you're walking into it, like beforehand, and while you're in the moment and afterwards, you're like, I'm going to remember this forever? You know what I mean? There's not a lot of those things. Like just yesterday, Shannon and Dennis, their daughter got married, and I had the great privilege of officiating. When you're officiating a wedding, if you haven't, it's terrifying because you know you're stepping into that remember this day forever moment. You're not just going to forget about your wedding day. You might be like, it moved too fast, I don't remember all the detail, but you don't forget that day, and they're kind of rare. So when I was in high school, I had one of these experiences. And I was going into my senior year of high school. I grew up in the Central Valley of California, and my pastor at the time, he had grown up in Oakland, California. And one of his friends in high school was kind of a big deal. You may have heard of him. His name is Tom Hanks. He's been in some movies. And so he went to high school and grew up with Tom Hanks. And so in my senior year, when we went on a mission trip, we were going down to LA to do this mission trip where we kind of learned about the city and some of the things that were going on in the city. And we're just kind of showing up to serve. And he set up on the front end of that mission trip a chance to go to Sony Picture Studios and to hang out with Tom Hanks. Like Saving Private Ryan, big, you know, bosom buddies, right? Wasn't that the one? All of these movies that are like indelibly shaped my childhood, that Tom Hanks. We have the picture to prove it. I'm the really, really cool kid with half of his face hidden, with no glasses. Trust me, I'm totally in there. But yeah, that was Tom Hanks rocking Uggs before Uggs were Uggs, right there. And we got to go. We look like such a 90s youth group right there. We were. That's exactly right. Very authentic we were. We got to go, and we got to watch part of the filming of the movie Castaway. And so what you would say, like, hey, Kurt, I don't want to, like, be a truther here, but that movie takes place on a deserted island. I don't think you did. So what we got to do is we got to see the magic of movies. So if you've seen the movie Castaway, there's the crash scene where the plane goes down, and he's in the water, and he's getting pulled down by the wreckage and pulled up by the raft. If you've seen the movie, you might remember this. All of that dramatic underwater footage took place in a really, really big bathtub on Sony Picture Lot Studios. And so we got to go and we got to watch some of that filming. Like all of the wreckage was just these jagged pieces of metal, and then they had these flames over the top. And so they'd get everything set and they'd say on, and all the flaming wreckage would like light up, and that would just kind of create the effect. It was awesome. And getting to meet him and getting to talk with him and getting to be, the whole thing was surreal. Like all of time slowed down. You know this, right? And it feels like a minute is like 5 minutes, and you notice details about things that you can still recall all this time later. I mean, that would have been 18 years ago, something like that. And I can still remember everything. I remember how we walked to the dining hall, and as we're walking to the dining hall, Kevin Bacon goes walking by us, and we were like, I am 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon, like maybe less, he's right there. And then you do all those weird things where you're like, he's shorter than I thought, because that's what you talk about, apparently. You envision all of the people that you see on TV as a certain height. Actually, the moment I remember most of the whole day is we were all so excited. Like, we are in this place where we, these kids from the country, don't belong. And everybody is famous, and I've seen them before, and like any amazing superstar could walk around the corner. And we were watching in this outdoor basketball court. There's this group of guys playing basketball. And I was like, hey, look, that's Cato Kalin. Now, if you don't remember, Cato Kalin was one of the star witnesses in the O.J. Simpson trial because he lived at O.J. Simpson's house. But other than that, Cato Kalin was not a celebrity in any way. He was just this guy that kind of became famous in this big, big court case. And what he would be doing there was quite the question. So, because we thought it might be him, it's like, well, let's go ask. So I went, and I'm a senior in high school, and there's a girl about my age there, and she's kind of watching and cheering. I'm like, hey, is that Cato Kalin? And she's like, yes. I'm like, how do you know? And she said, that's my dad. And I went, what? And so, like, my head was just exploding. Like, what is happening? This Cato Kalin, he has a daughter, and she's my age? And so we get back to talk to Tom Hanks. I'm like, guess what? We saw Cato Kalin. And he was like, awesome. You're going to go home, and you're going to tell everyone, like, we saw Cato Kalin. They'd be like, what are you doing there? And like, I don't know, seeing Tom Hanks or something. And he was like, a little bit. That is a little bit how that story went. The reason why I tell that story is hopefully to have you reflect on your story. Your day, your moment where everything slowed down and you remember everything. And there's little details of the day that you can pull out. If you close your eyes, you can still see it. Because for those who have had an experience of faith or trying to find God or wrestling with who God is, these things aren't just relegated to like these really special days like graduations and weddings and birth of children. And it's not just meeting a celebrity or a thing or having an experience of going skydiving or bungee jumping. They're also these deeply spiritual moments that we can recall. And I heard a voice, and some of you it was an audible voice, some of you is not an audible voice. Or I had this experience where a bunch of people seemed to be having an encounter with God, and I had no idea of what was going on. Or I was in this moment, or I was having this conversation with a friend, and it felt holy. I don't even know what that word means, but this time and the space felt holy. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we finish up Elijah, because Elisha has one of these moments. And I think when we step into Elijah's moment and wrestle and see what it looked like, we have some insights that we can gain about our own spiritual moments where the things slow down and we remember all of the detail. So if you have a Bible with you, I encourage you to turn to 1 Kings. You can also pull it up on a mobile device. If you didn't, no problem. We have the scripture we're going to be looking at here on the screen. Now, I heard a great quote that says, a text without a context is a subtext for making it say whatever you want, which is a great line. And what that means is a lot of times when we talk about the Bible and we read about it, we can just pull out these stories and be like, this thing clearly says this. When if you read it in its full context, that actually may not be true at all. And even when we pull out the full context of a passage and all that's happening, that doesn't mean that we'll fully understand it, but we might have a chance of better getting at what's going on. So in this passage, Elisha has had this incredible moment that we talked about a couple of weeks ago where he sees the power of God on display. He builds an altar, and then he is tasked with having God light the altar ablaze, and God does it. It's amazing. It's miraculous, and it happens in front of a whole bunch of people. They see it. But after it, because of this power of God on display and how it threatens the kingdom, the powers that be, Ahab and his wife Jezebel, a bounty is put out on Elisha's head. And so last week we looked at Elisha runs away. There's actually this kind of comical scene just before that where one guy runs out on a chariot with a horse and Elisha outraces the chariot and the horse. It's like this panicked sprint. I didn't know that he was like Prefontaine, but there you go. And so he's exhausted. He had this incredible high moment, but now there's a threat on his life. And so he goes under the broom bush and he says, God, I wish I was dead. And we looked last week, that feeling of wanting to quit, of wanting to give up, the moment when we're just done. That's the space that Elisha has just been in. Life is too much. Everything is going on, it's too much, and I'm done. And so we pick this up in 1 Kings 19, starting in the second half of verse 9. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elisha? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Doesn't that sound like the best parade ever? Go stand on the mountain. Lord is about to pass by. And this is how God passes by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elisha heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. This is fun. A couple of details. This place where Elisha's at, they locate it as Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb is important because there's another story that has a lot of similarities of this. But it happens with Moses. Moses is the liberator of the Israelite people. He brings them out of Egypt. They're enslaved, and he's the one that leads this. And he has this encounter with God where he says, God, if I could just see you. And God's like, you have no idea what you're asking. If I were to show up, you'd be dead. You can't take in the glory and the power and the might of God. But I will walk by. I'll put you in the cave. I'll cover you up. I will walk by and you'll get to see where I have been. That story is in the same location as this story. Elisha has this question from God. He says, I'm the only one left and they're trying to kill me too. And so God comes before him. And this is what I love. Think for a second. Close your eyes. Imagine being on a mountain, this big, glorious peak where you can look all around you. You're at a different elevation. You have a different perspective on what the world looks like. And a wind comes rushing through, a wind so strong that it shatters the mountain. It's bursting and breaking rocks around you. Can you imagine the volume? Have you ever tried to talk on a cell phone with someone who's in a windstorm? It's impossible. A little breeze is so loud and this big rushing wind going by you. If you've ever been on the Oregon coast when the wind is really, really moving, you can barely talk to the person standing next to you. And then the force of the wind. There's times where you feel like you could lean all the way in it and you would still be standing up with no, because the wind has such a force and such a resistance. This is happening. And God's not in the wind. And then after the wind, there's an earthquake. How many of you have ever been in an earthquake? Anybody? Oh my gosh. So I was a young boy, but in 1989, there was a huge earthquake that happened in San Francisco. People that are alive during that time remember it because it actually happened during the World Series, right before the games began. And they were watching and the cameras were shaking and they ran off the field. There's dramatic pictures of the Bay Bridge, a two-story bridge where the top collapsed into the bottom as people were driving, this epic earthquake. I lived about an hour and a half east of San Francisco, and I remember sitting on the couch after school and seeing our plants start shaking in the house. Earthquakes are terrifying. because you don't know how long they're going to last. And talk about those moments where you remember everything. Time slows down. There's nothing quite like an earthquake to make you feel entirely powerless. There's nothing you can do. I can steady if I'm driving a car and it gets out. I believe the illusion I can steady this car. If I'm in a plane, I can steady the. I can't steady the earth. You know what I mean? There's no amount of just getting low and putting your hands on it that's going to make it stop. You're just along for the ride, and this earthquake is shaking after the wind comes through and shatters the rocks. And guess what? Lord's not in the earthquake. And then fire. Fire shows up and is there. Fire is something that if you've ever been in front of a big bonfire that's roaring, the sound, the smells, you feel the heat radiating off on you. And it doesn't even matter kind of how far away, you can just feel the power and intensity of that fire. God's not in the fire either. It's kind of like, I feel like God needs a new publicist. These are three great opportunities to make an entrance, God, right? You said, Elijah, like, I'm going to show up to you, and like, these are pretty awesome pre-shows right here. It's like, God, I think you missed your cue. You were supposed to be in like that first part. We've been trying to get you there. No. So imagine the rushing wind, the feel of the wind, the earth shaking around you, trying to get, and then the heat of the fire, and now imagine nothing. It all drops away at once. I can't think of a more deafening silence than one that comes after that. Something that so engulfs all of your senses and then it all drops away. And there's God in a whisper. There's God in this gentle whisper. That God is present in the way that God shows up. It's funny, it would seem to deny God's power, that he's not in these big, dramatic things that happen. But the fact that God doesn't show up actually has incredible power in it, doesn't it? God is there in a whisper. And then Elisha walks out to the front of the cave, and as we continue on in verse 13 and then 14, then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elisha?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." That sound familiar? It's a little kind of Groundhog Day moment, isn't it? He hears the question from God, and he gives God the answer. And God says, "I'm going to show up. We have wind, we have earthquakes, we have fire, we have the whisper of God." And then we have the exact same conversation again. What is that all about? A couple of things that we want to look at, we want to say. Let's say, this is an incredible spiritual moment from Elisha. Would you agree? It was a pretty good one as far as moments with God go. You know, hearing the whisper of God, getting to see these things that we would identify with the power and might of God all in this moment. And have you ever prayed, "God, would you just give me a sign? God, would you just show up? God, I need to know that you're real. I need to know that you're here." And whatever happened and whatever you felt after that moment, would you feel like, "No, God, that wasn't what I was talking about. I wanted like this." This, right? This would have been awesome. "You can give me that little silent whisper. That's cool. But I would appreciate the wind and the earthquakes and the fire too. It really gives some oomph to that whole whisper thing." I think if we're here and we're spiritually searching, or if you're here and you feel a great certainty and faith in who God is and how God has called you, we would all like a moment with God. A time, an experience, that unquestioned moment where you say, I know God is real. I experienced it. I was in that moment. I know I've been there many, many times. I'm a pastor. I don't know if you knew. But there's times when you're like, if I'm giving the entirety of my life and profession to this, it would be nice if I had a little clarification that you exist. A little idea that I know that you're really real. And the concept is, like, if I could have that moment, then it would launch my life into this trajectory and thing, and then I would know and I would be sure. If you want to be aware in that moment, it might be good practice to be aware to this moment. There's a lot of times where we want to see God, we want to experience God, like, God, would you show up here? And we spend all of our time fascinating or dreaming about what that could be or what that experience was. Or maybe we spend a lot of time replaying the thing that happened in the past, that I know that I know that I had this experience of God then. But the question is, where are you now? And I don't mean the theoretical now. I mean like the literal right now. Where are you right now? Are you here? Are you awake to this moment? It's possible that right now you could get the rushing wind, and the reality is God's not in that. But it's also possible that God is here in a whisper. And you can't hope to be awake to that moment if you're not awake to this moment. See, this is the incredible thing about God and what we read in Scripture and what bears true in my own experience and people that I've talked to, is the people that have experiences of God are the people that show up for Him. And usually you don't get a postcard in the mail. Normally you don't get the, like, hey, God's going to be showing up October 3rd. It's going to be about noon to 1. Keep that window open. It's not like the Comcast guy. You just have to kind of live life and be awake to the moment you have right now, because this is the beautiful thing about living. It's the only moment you have. Right here, right now. This is it. And if we want to know who God is, there's a chance if we're never present in this moment, we're certainly not going to be present to that whisper. Because we're too busy living into the future, or we're too busy living into our past. The first question, the thing that we see in this life of Elisha, is where are you now? Reclaim the now. Reclaim the present to be open and aware. Does that guarantee, is that like saying Beetlejuice, 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 where I can promise that God's going to show up? No. But I do know that if you're not present to this moment, you could miss it. And why do I say that? Because I know I've missed it so many times in my life. I know I've missed God so many times. Where God was trying to speak to me, God was trying to move in something to me, and I was like, God, would you stop that? I'm preparing a message. God, would you? I don't want to hear that. I got stuff to do. I'm praying right now, God. Come on. And you laugh, but it's true. At times we can be doing the thing, but we're not actually in the moment to experience it. And maybe this would be helpful for you. This moment right here, this is holy. Why? Because it's now. If you're waiting for the holy moment, you'll probably miss it. But if you start seeing this moment as holy, you'll never miss it. It's a better way to live. It's a better way to be awakened to your life here and now. Not the life you wish you had or not the life you used to have. This is holy and beautiful and sacred. There's this great
moment in the story of Moses where he comes to the burning bush and he walks up and says, take off your sandals because this is holy ground. The question is, did the ground just become holy because he walked up to it, or was the ground always holy? Wake up to the holy ground under your feet now, because it's beautiful. The second thing, this might get me into some trouble, but that's more fun. Encounters with God change everything and nothing. These moments where everything slows, and if you've had one in the past, it changes everything and it changes nothing. Did you notice that thing in the story where Elijah hears the voice from God and he gives the answer, and then he has this amazing thing, and then God talks to him again. He's like, just a second, I'm still processing that whisper and the rocks and the thing. No, he just jumps right back into the same life that he had before. These bookends frame this experience. Where in Elijah's answer, everything has changed and nothing has changed. I prayed a lot, especially in my youth. Like, God, I just want to see you. I want to know that you're real. I want to know that you have this power and this majesty. And we had this experience where a friend of mine that we were working at this summer camp together, and one day he started urinating blood. That is a problem. He had no reason why. There wasn't this traumatic injury or this thing. He just started urinating blood, and it wouldn't stop. So he had to go home, and he went and saw a doctor, and they had no reason why. He just had to take these big bags home with him that he could collect and take back so they could monitor and check it. And it first started happening on a Thursday. And it was continuing to happen that Saturday. And I went back to, because we were from the same town, we went back with a group of friends that we were planning a little trip on the weekend of this camp anyway to go see him. And as we were talking with him, we laid hands on him and we prayed for him. God, would you heal him? And I don't know how that all works. The one thing I know is it doesn't always work. I prayed for lots of things. I prayed for lots of healings with as much faith and belief in my heart as that moment. But what I know and what I experienced is he didn't urinate blood from that moment forward. And he went back to the doctor and they said, we don't know why it started and we certainly don't know why it stopped, but it was gone. It was done. And because of who I was, I was like, that was it. When we heard that he had been healed and that he didn't have this thing anymore, it was like, of course. We prayed for him and God healed him. And it was this moment where I felt God so clearly showed up. And that moment is the reason why I'm a pastor today. Except that's a total lie. It's not. I was going to be a pastor before that. It was something that I wanted to do. It was something I felt called. And I feel the same now. The only difference is now I'd be like, I don't know. It could have been a timing thing. I mean, maybe he just had some bleeding and like it took 3 days to clot up. That happens. Did God miraculously show up? I stand before you today and say, I don't know. And so the question is, you prayed this thing, you wanted this thing, and then God did this, so clearly you have your answer, right? No, I don't know. I believe that God came through, and I know that God can heal. I really believe that. I believe that it's very possible he was healed. But that moment that I thought that was the thing that I need, it happened, and guess what? It didn't answer any questions. I stand here today no more sure of the healing power of God than before that moment. Does it make me a bad Christian and a bad pastor? Maybe. We can talk after service. Jesus has this amazing line where they're like, just show us. Just like, show us you're the Messiah and then we'll believe. And he was like, you want the miracles and the life of Moses that the Israelites have. When you go through the Bible and you read of all the people that existed and their experiences of God, who are the people that should have the most faith in God? How about the people that were liberated from slavery from seven incredible and miraculous events, then walked through the Dead Sea, it just cleared and parted for them, and then they lived out in the desert for 40 years with a pillar of cloud by day and a cloud of fire by night, and every day when they woke up, there was food in the desert just waiting for them. They also had this moment where they had no water, and Moses hit his staff, and boom, water appeared. These people should know, right? I mean, God show up again and again and again. But what do we know about the Israelites in the desert? No faith. They kept on saying, can we go back to Egypt? We had food there. We kind of knew what to expect. Slavery wasn't all bad. It had its benefits. Job security, one. They were one of the least faithful groups ever. So we think if we have these moments, if we have these experiences, then I'll know. We need to stop believing in the lie of the then. That moment doesn't, there is no moment that's going to trump all the other moments and be the moment. But here's what's beautiful. Here's what's beautiful. But if you can see the holiness in this moment, you will have lots of moments that can change everything. Stop believing in the lie of the moment. Be in this moment, and you'll experience all kinds of amazing things. You'll have lots of moments that change everything when you stop believing in the lie of the moment that can change everything. God wants to show up and be present in your life. But when we're holding on to the thing, we actually lose this really important relationship. God has created us to be in relationship with him. God isn't a magician walking around a dinner party hoping to pull a scarf out of his thing and like, well, I believe now. Because when you have the moment where you believe and you don't need anymore, you also don't need an ongoing relationship with God. You have your proof. You're kind of good to go. God calls us and invites us to so much more than that. And in that, we see amazing things. So these amazing moments with God, they change everything and they change nothing. The thing that I want to close and invite you to this week, today, this moment, is to go stand at the mouth of the cave. There's a line in the story where after the wind, after the earthquake, after the fire, and after the gentle whisper, Elisha goes and he stands at the mouth of the cave. He's present. He's allowed his attention to be captured by God. And now he is awake and alive in a way that he wasn't before. Let's go be awake and alive in the world in a way that we have not before. Let's go be awake and alive to the reality of God in a way that we have not been before. And some of you might be saying, but I don't even know if there is a God. Awesome. Go be awake to that. Go be awake to that question and see what can happen. See what can show up. I don't know much, but I know life is a beautiful adventure that's meant to be lived in now, here, and today. And there's whispers that are waiting for those who are willing to show up. Let's be the people that show up and watch God bless all the world through those who show up. Let's pray. Lord, for some of us today, God, we walked in. God, I preach this message still holding on in the back of my head to the idea that if I just had that experience, that there's an experience of you, there's a thing that I could see that would answer all the questions, that would take care of everything. And God, it seems like when we hold on to the God that exists in the rushing wind that explodes rocks, when we hold on to the idea of the God in the earthquakes, when we hold on to the idea of the God in fire, we miss the God in the whisper. We miss the God that is here now in this moment. God, I pray that we would open our eyes to you here and now. We would see this ground as holy. We would see this moment as sacred. God, we would reject the lie of that moment. We would reject the lie of that thing that will answer it all. God, may we be changed by this moment. May we be awake to you or our questions about your existence now. Because God, as you exist and as you are, relationship with you changes everything. It opens us up to a way of engaging with the world with more joy, with more peace, with more presence. And God, we live in a world that is in desperate need of more people awake to this moment. God, I pray we would be that people. I pray that we would go stand at the mouth of the cave fully alive and fully awake. Some of us for the very first time. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So would you stand? May you go and be awake to the reality of God here. Now, today, this moment, and may you allow yourself to be changed by that God. May you allow yourself to be awake to God and to the world that you live in. May you see the pain that exists so that you can be awake to that too and let God transform you and transform every moment that you encounter for better things. Amen and amen. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week.